Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Keep this frequency clear.
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of San Mateo, California. And make no doubts about it, there are mean streets. And we're coming at you with the Marco and Seats, the Triple B Hour Smack, my picks up. And to the Radio Shack hotline we go. Fighting out of the red corner. The man who has 60% of his body is covered up in tattoos. Dean from Georgia.
Fellas, how you doing?
And fighting out of the blue corner. The man who had a hard night sleeping because he was thinking of Melania Trump. The one and only Marco from Waco.
Marco from Hueco, que pasa, vatos. I am a little bit bummed, but it's okay. The country is not going to end. The war is not going to end. And Elon Musk is going to take us to Mars.
Attaboy. You know, hold on. We got to do the one and only Dean from Georgia. Let's do his song, Some Justice, because he is a Junkie Nation legend. Georgia. That's right.
Georgia. There you go.
I love your laugh, by the way. You do have the best laugh.
Hey, Dean. Of course, you are the dean. You know, you're an emeritus professor. You got doctorates. You got all sorts of degrees. But you just drop a little bit of knowledge of air. 60% of your body is schooling tattoos, man. I mean, you are like the coolest professor in school.
Yeah, I have. Let's see. I have two full sleeves. My whole back's completely done. Like nothing's visible. If I wear a suit and tie every day. And, you know, for Fedor sweater, you know, I have to make sure I have my bow ties or cufflinks on. But because I do have extensive, I have probably like 70 plus ties and there about 50 plus cufflinks.
Darn, you have more cufflinks than I do.
Yeah, I have a lot. But no, I have full sleeves. My whole back's completely done. Pretty much from all my legs, both from my feet. All the way up. There's little spots here and there, but pretty much covered throughout. Yeah.
So, how about you?
No, none of my ass. None of my ass.
Uh-oh. Excuse me, bitch. Oh, my gosh. All right.
That is cool, though. That is so cool.
See, I used to think that I was the best-dressed man in Junkie Nation. I may not be. It may be Dean, because I'm always in a three-piece suit. Mm-hmm. So Dean actually may beat me here with the cufflinks because I don't always go with French cuffs. So Dean, you have me beat.
No, I mostly will wear French cuffs. I always wear ties and then either bow ties with the pocket shifts. Majority of the time.
The pocket squares. Way to go! Look at this guy. Good Lord! Oh man! Hey. And Marco, let's give you
a surprise for people.
For sure. I have to hear the Marco intro.
That's right. Yeah, after almost 17 years of fatigues and Class A uniforms, I'm done wearing uniforms, dude. I shorts and a t-shirt.
Way to go. So Showtime's going to join us later. Proteus may join us later. Lerone may join us later. Unfortunately, Smack My Picks Up, Clearwater Marco Hour is only an hour. So let's move on, guys, because we got a lot to cover. The main card we go. And you know what, guys? This time, I'm not going to give you guys too much information because, to be honest with you guys, this is the best card we've ever seen. And if Junkie Nation doesn't know who these fighters are, then there's no need for us to tell them, right? So let's move into the women's Batman weight. Got a shout-out to, of course, Danny Otto of Automatic 253. To the women's bantamweight we go, guys. Misha Cupcake Tate, 30 years. Oh, by the way, guys, I bombed there. This hour is brought to you by Hollywood Video, where you get less for more. All right, guys, we go to the women's Batman weight. We go Misha Cupcake Tate, 30 years young, 18-6. The stunning Tate, guys, is 4-1 in her last five and just lost her belt to, of course, Amanda Nunes, who will be fighting Honda Housie. And Raquel Rocky Pennington, 28 years young, 8-5. She is on a three-fight win streak, beating the likes of Elizabeth Phillips, who? Betch Correa and Jessica Andrade. Dean, what you got?
I mean, due to the experience, you have Misha Tate, but I think Pennington's going to give her a run for her money, you know, and the odds are kind of demonstrating that. You know, she's only a plus 150 for a, you know, she's ranked at like number 15 in the UFC, Misha Tate. What I'm curious with the Misha Tate is because, you know, she got sick and she had that bad weight cut. Now not being the headliner, just being one of the opening fights for the main card, probably definitely a less pressure on her. But I just think her experience, she'll be able to probably grind out a decision from Pennington. But I think the fight's going to be a lot closer than what people think. I mean, the odds are even showing it. And for Misha Tate to be a former champion, to only be a minus 170 to a Raquel Pennington at a plus 150, I mean, that's definitely a dog that, you know, she definitely has a shot. I think she's constantly improving. Misha Tate does not like to get punched in the face, and Raquel Pennington has some pretty good boxing for a female. But due to her experience and stuff, I would take Tate as with the decision.
Nice.
Good. Well, I love your analysis, Dean, but I've been struggling with this fight, and I seen that I might shock you guys, but I'm going with Rocky Pennington, and I tell you why. One, she's riding a momentum of a 3-5 winning streak. She's the one that said Jessica Andrade screaming and crying to the freaking strawweight division. Jessica Andrade stopped fighting 135 after she fought Rocky, and she went, because she realized she's too small for a 135er, and she went directly to strawweight, escaped 135 because that's next season in the USA. And the problem I got is that 4 months ago, only 4 months ago, Misha Tate got her nose shattered by Amanda Nunes. And we saw what happened to Rory McDonald when he got his nose shattered by Robbie Lawler. He came back 4 or 5 months later, and then he got his nose shattered again by Wonder Boy. I think it's too early. That nose is not completely well repaired. And Rocky Pennington is a good striker. And she's going to be targeting that nose. And that is what I got a lot of problem with Tate coming back so early for the fight. I know she's a fighter. I know she's a grinder. And in any other circumstance, I will be favoring Tate. But on this one, just because of the timing for being too soon and she coming back with an injury like that, I'm going to take Rocky on a split decision win in the upset.
Wow. Son, you know what? I'm with so I have to go with Dean on this one. By the way, Marco, Proteus just said that you are agreeing with him again. So, gosh, how about that?
Yeah, huh?
All right, guys. I'm actually going to take – there's no way I can go against a Cupcake unless, of course, she's going up against Honda Housie. I just think Cupcake's a better fighter. I do worry about her fighting to her level. Meaning she's going down quite a bit, right? Fighting Rocky, but Rocky doesn't hit hard. I agree with what Gigi was saying, you guys. I don't think Raquel Pennington hits hard. She is a decisionator as well, along with Tate. I just don't see how Tate loses this fight. They're both about the same height. I think Misha technically is an inch shorter, although she looked taller. Then again, she was wearing heels. And if you look at who she's fought, guys, you know, she beat Roxanne Modafferi, lost to Jessica Andrade, beat Ashley Evans-Smith, lost to Holly Holmes. But it's always decision. Did I just say Holmes, Dean? I think I just said Holmes. Andrade, submission. I just don't see her losing to Cupcake. So I'm taking Misha Tate, no surprise, right? Via decision over – did we just lose? We just lost Dean. Darn, we just lost Dean. Over, Marco, are you still with me?
Yeah, call him back.
Yeah, we just lost Dean. So I'm taking Cupcake. I just don't see her losing to.
Yeah. Try to call Dean back while I'm doing my analysis. Yeah.
Hello?
Dean, we lost you. Welcome back.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. So I'm taking the lovely Cupcake in the decision over Rocky Pennington. Nothing? Hang on, where are the crickets?
Nada.
All right. All right, guys.
I think it's going to be a tough fight.
I mean, this fight has a lot of really, like, I said, this fight has a lot, you know, underdogs that could definitely pull up, but they're not like big underdogs. They're like plus 135, plus 150. You know, they're not that big of dogs. There's going to be a lot of really, really close fights on this card, which I'm excited about.
I was going to ask C to the triple B this, but I'm going to ask both of you guys because you guys actually know what you're talking about in terms of odds. Why is it that, for example, when someone's a favorite by minus 170, right? We said Tate, right, over Pennington plus 150. Why are there different odds for each one, Dean, or your stats guy or Marco?
So you have to pay $170 to win $100.
Correct.
So when you go to the customer service, you know, gambling customer service technician or whatever you representative, you're like, hey, here's $170. They're gonna give you a ticket. So if you win, you get $270 back.
Gotcha.
You know, a lot of the odds, they're out there, but they get driven by the gambling. You know, if a lot of people start putting money on Raquel Pennington, that line's going to lower. But if a lot of people continue to put money on Tisha thinking like, oh, I'm gonna get her at 170, and then people just stop pouring in money, that's going to raise, you know, 175, 180, 190,
yeah,
to 200. Because they want to get a balance. That's what I was saying. Like, with these odds, considering the name of Tisha Tate coming to be a coming off as a champion reign and, you know, 4 out of 5 and all this stuff to Raquel Pennington that had some tough close fights but is scrappy. Like, you know, a lot of people are realizing she has a really good shot to beat Misha.
Yeah, it's either that or nobody's betting on this fight, you know, because if the line is not moving, it's either nobody's betting on it or the bets are sort of even on both sides. So that is why the line doesn't move.
That means the bookies got it right. If the line,
right,
not a lot of people betting, that means people are like, that's pretty, you know, you're cautious on either way. That's what they want to get. They want to get people to like, man, this is close on either side. So what you're the
darn, is that what that means? So when it doesn't move much, that means they got it right.
Yeah, they pretty much got it right. You're going to see like people throw, you know, they'll do like chalk couple of two favorites and then throw, like, if they feel that Pennington can win, they'll throw Pennington on a parlay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Marco, we can hear you breathe. You're doing a Darth Vader thing again. I should play your
no problem.
Your empire, your empire theme. All right, guys, let's move up.
I am your father.
Let's move up to the lightweight. We go, guys. Kelvin Gastelum, 25 years young. You know what? I don't know why it seems like he's older, like he's fought longer. 12-2, and this is a funny thing, guys. Gastelum is 3-2 in his last 5. He's only lost decisions, of course, to Tyron Woodley and to Neil Magny. I don't know, guys. I you know, there's something about Gastelum. I think he always drops the ball. Going up against Donald Cowboy Cerrone, 33 years young, 31-7-1. Cowboy is 9-1 in his last 10. He's only lost to RDA twice, keep in mind, and recently, of course. And really impressive lately, beating Story, Cote, Oliveira. We go to the Marco from Waco. We go. Marco, what you got?
Okay, but first of all, the fight at a welterweight, man. Come on, get on the boat. You say lightweight.
Well, that's. Is it? My bad.
I forgive you. I have to go with Cabo on this one. The fact that he's riding a really good winning streak, and he has looked so good at welterweight. What a surprise, man. I mean, people were not giving him too much of a chance against Rick Story because Rick Story was the bigger guy, and he schooled Story. He made him look bad. He outstruck Patrick Cote, you know, a guy that fought for the title at middleweight. So, Kelvin Gastelum, man, as talented as he is, you know, he just beat Johnny Hendricks too, you know, let's not forget. A little bit too inconsistent lately. He had the weight issues, and I think he has a little bit of lack of discipline, and that is his undoing. He's going to try to wrestle and box Cerrone, you know, and Cerrone's no slouch on the ground. He got a really good guard. And as a striker, he's far superior than Gastelum is. I think Cerrone is going to outstrike Kelvin Gastelum. He's going to keep the distance. He's a lankier guy. He's not going to be the biggest guy, but he's going to be the lankier, faster guy. He's going to keep him on the outside, and I'll point him 30-27 in a unanimous decision.
Wow. Dean, what you got?
Initially, I was agreeing with, you know, early in the week, I agreed with Marco, you know, kind of Gastelum only kind of loses to high-level wrestlers. So the whole aspect of, you know, for majority of his fights, he lost to Woodley, and then Magny kind of just, you know, grappled him with him, and it was a close fight. And then he was able to beat Hendricks, which caught me by surprise, but I think Hendricks is because of weight problem. But I think here's the reason why I'm saying I think Gastelum is kind of big. He's one of the bigger welterweights that Donald Cerrone's face. I think Cerrone, he has to definitely keep him with the distance if he's going to be successful. But I think Gastelum has really good footwork, really good boxing to get on the inside, be able to grapple with him. And the biggest thing that's kind of fear is, and we've seen it before, is Donald Cerrone's activity. Yes, he fights a lot, but when he starts fighting too much, he loses. For instance, in from 2010 around 2011 2012 time frame, he had five wins going on in less than a year, and then he tried to grab in that sixth fight, and it was right around that 1 year mark, and he lost. This is going to be his fifth fight in a matter of like 10 and a half months. Going back to his win in December, I think it's going to be a similar situation, and he's fighting a higher caliber of people, you know, this time. I just think due to his activity, and usually when he tries to get too active, it's going to have a negative effect on him. I mean, when he had it and he lost to Nate Diaz, you know, he fought back in December. So from December to December, he had like six fights. So this time he fought in December when he lost RDA. So now he's fought three times since then. This is another fight. So in the time of less than 11 a month, this is his fifth fight. I just think the toll on his body eventually at a certain point gets to him. And I think he's, Gastelum will be able to possibly, I'm saying he's going to be able to catch him and possibly be able to submit him, but Donald's really hard to submit, so I'd probably get him with a decision.
Darn. Well, look at that breakdown, Marco. He's rivaling you. Now, we have yet another star, guys, that has joined us. The one and only, the man who once ran a 40 in 4.2 seconds, Showtime.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's going on, guys?
Oh, what's Showtime, you didn't do your intro. What's going on, fellas?
Man, I'm kind of off kilter, man. I actually just got up, man, and was moving kind of fast. So I'm kind of thrown off a little bit. So you guys bear with me, man. What's up?
I'm sorry, Showtime. There we go. So Showtime, Dean just gave actually one hell of a breakdown in the welterweight Gastelum versus Cerrone. Who do you have, by the way, first off, with Tate versus Pennington?
Oh man, I gotta go with Misha, man. I just think Misha will find a way to win the fight. I think similar to maybe she's a little overrated to me. And I just think Misha will find a way to get her on the ground and put a little ground to pound on her.
So method and round?
I think she'll probably ink out a decision. I don't see her stopping her. Pendleton is pretty doable chick, and you know, she may try to use her stand up and stay away from Misha, but I just think at some point in time Misha gonna take her down to the ground.
Gotcha. Gastelum versus Cerrone, Showtime.
Man, Dean, I came in on the tail end of what Dean was saying, but he was spot on with that.
Yeah, that was pretty damn good. Yeah.
Man, that was a breakdown. You could have been at the Fox desk with that Fox Sports 1 desk. That breakdown. I feel the same way. We love Cowboy for being active, and he'll step up and fight anybody. He'll badass. We, you know, regardless if you like him or not, you gotta give him your respect. But he's real active, and I just think this a fight, man, that Gaslam is powerful, he's young, and he's strong, man. And I just think he'll probably, win a decision in this fight.
Marco, did you already go on this one, Gaslam versus Cerrone?
Yeah, I think Cerrone, remember?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go. I think, see, there you go. It's 420, guys, and I don't even do weed. So there you go. I think I got to agree with Marco on this one, guys. I think I'm going to go. Hold on. I'm back on the fence, Dean. Hang on. Let me play your
Get off my fence. Get off my fence.
Guys, you know what? I'm going to go with Dean on this one because his breakdown was pretty spot on, guys. I'm going to go with Cerrone losing to Gastelum, 3-round decision. I just think, he fights way too much, guys. So I'm going to go with Cerrone on this one. Guys, we move up to the middleweight we go. The battle of two guys that have only lost once, guys. Chris Weidman versus Yoel Romero. Chris Weidman, 32 years young, 13-1, of course, undefeated until he lost to the great Luke Rockhold. Shout out to the Bay Area there. Yoel, Soldier of God, Romero, 39. Damn, that's a good 39. I was in that kind of shape, 39. 12-1, guys, his lone loss to Rafael Cavalcante, and that was in Strikeforce, sorry, Bellaforce. There you go, Marco. 5 years ago. He's beaten, allegedly, Dean, the likes of Derek Brunson, Captain America, Tim Kennedy, who unfortunately we lost in this fight, in this card, Lyoto Machida, and Jacare Souza, who no one wants to fight. We go up to the Tennessee man himself. Showtime, what you got?
Man, this is a hard fight, man. You really got two damn guys that can wrestle, man. So freaking good.
It's an easy fight, Showtime.
You know what? I don't know how Yoel's gonna be off that special sauce. You know, if he was on it, and with Weidman fighting at home, damn man, it's hard to pick against Weidman. But I love Yoel, man. You know what, man? I think I'm gonna have to go with Romero, man. I really think I'm gonna have to go with him, man, because I think he's powerful, strong. And I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go against my better judgment of wanting to pick Weidman with fighting at home and Weidman being hungry. I'm going to go with the old guy, man. I'm going to go with Romero.
Wow. Dean,
Oh, my God. Let me in, coach. Showtime, so wrong. All right, so here's my breakdown. So wrong. So, okay, it's undeniable. On paper, in collegiate and wrestling, Romero is one of the most decorated. I'll give him that. That has not translated to MMA wrestling because you mentioned four of his notable wins. Three of them, he basically was on the brink of losing. That yep. Brunson fight, he caught him at the end, and he was losing the first two rounds against a good wrestler, not a type of wrestler of the caliber of Weidman. Kennedy, he got it to the point, that whole stool, like Gigi calls it, stool gate. he was getting to a point where he was going to lose, and Kennedy got good grappling, but not at the level of a Chris Weidman. And then the only one that has the type of grappling at Weidman is Souza, and I felt Souza won that fight. It was a close fight, but I felt Souza won that third round to win that fight. So I'm looking at his UFC record, and he has 7 fights, and like 3 of them are very questionable. I mean, yes, he's the one with his hand raised. I just think Weidman, he had a brutal knockout. It was almost a year ago. He had enough time to heal. Yes, he did have an injury back in June, July timeframe when they were supposed to run back Weidman, Rockhold 2. But he was able to, you know, that's that little injury that he had, that's 5-6 months ago. So I feel that the only thing I was get concerned with is because the hometown pressure. But when you talk to him in interviews, he's not letting that really bother him. So he says, but I kind of believe him. And then I just think that additional motivation, I just think his record, his wrestling translates better. I think he's going to give Souza problems. I mean, not Souza, Romero problems. And then I think he could hit him with, you know, like a ground and pound stoppage. I think he's going to catch him, and he's going to like probably ground him out.
Wow. Well,
so TKO third round, because Romero fades and he's going to catch him when he's tired. And then Weidman has usually better energy. He's going to win him. He's going to beat him in the third round.
Apparently, Clearwater didn't. Darn. All right. So you have Weidman, right?
Yes. Weidman all day.
All right. And Showtime method.
Before.
Yo.
Showtime. Method. And round for Romero for you. Method of victory and round.
I actually think that Romero may catch Weidman. It may be a situation of Weidman winning, but Romero has just this power, man. Just like he caught Jacare, he may hit him with a spinning back fist. He may hit him with anything. So I'll say he's going to win this fight second round, TKO.
Darn. Damn. All right, guys. We have yet another star has joined this all-star cast. Damn. And honestly, guys, this is the best card we've ever seen in our life. Here comes the one and only, the Clearwater Beach Bad Boy.
Fellas, Clearwater Beach Bad Boy off a huge win last night, guys. That's right. Clearwater Beach Bad Boy putting close to a dime on Donald Trump plus the 400 in Vegas, guys. Of course, if you know, you can bet on politics, you can bet on the Academy Awards. Can't bet on that shit like the Soul Train Awards, guys. But I'm going to tell you what, the Clearwater Beach Bad Boy about 4 G's richer today. But then again, with winning comes enemies. I'm getting phone calls. I'm hearing that there's a show on. You've got the original black man of MMA Junkie on the program today, somewhere in a vehicle near Chattanooga, Tennessee, driving around with his Republican ass and his cowboy boots. You got Marco in Waco, who I'm sure at this point is put in for his Canadian citizenship. And you've got, of course, the homosexual Canadians up north that are very irritated right now, guys, that the hat of America is about to get a little tighter. But, guys, the Clearwater Beach Bad Boy on the program, lots going on this weekend, guys. Can we get a Phil Baroni on the card? Is it going to happen?
I don't see that happening. Yeah. But you know what, guys, we have two legit college stars in Showtime in Clearwater, and of course the professor himself, Dean from Georgia, is on. No Proteus on today; he's with family. But darn, I'm telling you right now, guys, I'm a 6 foot 190 guy, maybe 185 right now, to be honest. And I feel small compared to you guys. The Clearwater Beach Bad Boy Showtime, Dean from Georgia and Marco from Waco. Damn, I don't belong here, guys.
Yeah, what are you doing? Dean from Georgia. What part of Georgia is Dean from? Is he like from Hawkinsville, or is he from actually like the ATL?
I'm originally from New England, but I live by the Georgia Florida line. But
so
I
you're over there now.
Teach in Savannah.
That's a long line.
I said by the Georgia Florida line. I live across the Georgia Florida line, and I teach in Savannah.
You teach in Savannah, okay? Because you could be across the Florida Georgia line in Valdosta. You could be over there near Albany. You could be near Tifton.
North of Jacksonville.
Gotcha, got you. I understand. I know the area
south
now.
South of Brunswick. South of Brunswick, in between Brunswick
and of course, our man, the real college football star, the Division I guy, has been very cryptic about his history playing both professionally and collegiately. I even think the guy might have been on a Division I national title team in Auburn years ago, but he's never really elaborated. I would love to hear a little bit about what his background consists of. Very cryptic, and I think it has to do with warrants.
No warrants, man.
Hey, let's not forget, Showtime did play with the one and only Air McNair. So that's something else. Clearwater, we went over Misha, we went over Gaslam, we're now in Weidman and Romero. Who do you have quickly with Tate versus Pennington and Gaslam versus Cerrone?
Guys, this is an incredible card with a lot of value on underdogs. You know, this reminds me a lot, real quickly, of when Shamrock fought, what was the guy that looked like Jim Carrey? What was his name?
Oh, my God.
He's long since, he broke his nose like 50 times, and then he beat Chuck Liddell on the last, who am I thinking?
Rich Franklin.
This has that type of a feel to it, because a lot of people mainstream know who Misha Tate is. They don't know who this other broad is. But this could be a very well of a passing of the torch. And I saw some interviews recently where Misha Tate does not remember her last fight, which is probably a good thing. I've got a few breakups in my life I wish I could forget. But that, you know, so this could be a passing of the torch. Guys, I'm going to take the underdog here. The only fights that she's had that she's won recently, she squeaked by. Yeah, why not? The value is there. I'm going to go against Misha Tate after a brutal loss. And I think once these girls reach a certain age and they put in enough time in the sport, it's not too far-fetched. If the line was a little bit closer, I'd stay with Tate. But I just love the dog in this fight, and I'm going to go ahead and take her, guys. Plus, you know, the whites have won enough lately, guys. So I'm going to go with the dog and Pena.
Clearwater, Gastelum versus Cerrone. What you got?
You got to go with you got to go with Cerrone. I'm going to go with Cerrone on every card until he shows me a bunch of losses in a row. Got to go with the Cowboy Cerrone.
All right, here we go. We're on Weidman versus Romero. Showtime picking Romero. Dean picking Weidman. And Dean, by the way, with his good Lord Fox Sports 1 analysis, C to the triple B. Weidman versus Romero. What you got?
You know, anybody like Romero who's got that kind of power, and he just looks like a bouncer you'd see somewhere in like West Hollywood at one of those types of clubs, those biker bars out there. I'm going to go with Romero, who looks like Vin Diesel if he was straight. Yeah, I'm going to go with Romero on the plus the 145, guys. You got to go with it. And pronounce that first name again. It's Yoel, right?
Yoel.
Wouldn't a great nickname have been Mama? I mean, can you imagine if that was his nickname? Say it out loud.
Mama Yoel Romero?
No, your mama. Yeah, your mama Romero. Sure. What the fuck's his problem? I see that on t-shirts.
That's exactly what I did to your mother, buddy.
Whoa,
there
man.
You go.
All right. We go to the star himself, Marco from Waco. And Marco, you finally got C to the triple B back on the show. The Marco and C to the triple B hour, smack my picks up. Marco, what you got?
Yeah, well, I had to set a freaking search party to get this guy back on the show, man, but we got him back. I'm being biased on this. It's a little bit more emotional than a breakdown, but I seen Yoel have his quick bites too many of his fights. Didn't put it right. The Derek Bronson fight, he was losing badly before he got lucky with a lucky punch on the third round. He lost the Tim Kennedy fight before his corner cheated the shit out of throwing ice on the floor and letting him sit there for like 3 hours for him to recover. and then, you know, come Tim Kennedy with a Glocky shot on the third round. He should have lost that fight. The Jacare fight, it was a split decision, and a lot of people thought Jacare won that fight. Joel Romero, for all his accolades, for all his, you know, silver medalist stuff, and all how look he goes, remember, he got so those tainted supplements, you know? So let's see how there he do without the tainted supplements. Yeah?
Without the tainted supplements.
I am taking Chris Weidman here. I think Chris Weidman got a chip on his shoulder. He wants that title fight against Bisping or Rojo or whoever had the belt. You know, he was supposed to be the headliner on this card, and he's on the middle of the card. I think Chris Weidman is a better striker. He will be able to grapple Joel Romero, not to take him down, but to tire him out, and he will TKO this guy on the second round, and a second round TKO for Chris Weidman.
Wow.
Steroids? We ain't talking about steroids.
Yeah, I guess no one's on the supplements here, right, guys?
Everybody's on steroids.
All right, guys. You know what? We're clearly divided. Showtime picking Romero. C to triple B on Romero. Dean and Marco on Weidman. Guys, I'm actually on the fence on this one. Surprise, surprise. Right? But you know what, guys? I see Chris Weidman making a comeback, and I think Romero just cheats a little too much. I'm going Weidman, and I'm going Weidman, believe it or not, Romero is going to gas out some sort of submission with Weidman, so I'm choosing Weidman.
Good.
Nothing? All right. Guys, hold on. Boy, I'm getting a lot of crickets on this one, guys. All right, guys, here we go. We move up to the championship rounds. We go, guys, to the women's strawweight. We go. Joanna Champion, I'm not even going to try to say that last name, versus Karolina Kowalkiewicz. There's not much to say here, guys. Obviously, Joanna is a badass, guys. Probably the best striker in all of MMA, an absolute complete kickboxer. We all know who she's beaten, the leggy Jessica Penne, Gadella. Letourneau, not to mention, guys, she's already beaten Karolina Kowalkiewicz in 2012 in one of her two amateur belts in Poland. She's going up against the Karolina, the Polish Princess Kowalkiewicz, undefeated as well, guys. JJ, of course, 12-0. KK is 10-0. Undefeated professionally in MMA, but she did beat, of course, Nama Yuma's Heather Jo Clark, Randa Marcos. We go up to the C to the triple B. What you got?
Guys, listen, I don't know what the fuck is going on here. We got the alphabet soup of bitches. We've got so many vowels and consonants in these last names. Thank God they don't have jerseys because they wouldn't be able to fit it, at least not with the first initial. But I'm going to tell you something here, guys, as I look at this. First of all, why the fuck is this? And don't tell me because it's a title fight. Because we've seen title fights below contender fights in the UFC. Why is this fight third to the top on the card? Why is this fight ahead of Cerrone and Weidman? If I'm those guys, I tell them that a couple of broads that would probably be working the door at a bikini bar somewhere in Central Florida would not fight ahead of me on a card. There's just no way, especially in New York City. I don't care what the Polish population is. I mean, do we remember the last time there was a giant Polish population at a fight would happen? And I'm going to give you guys about 30 seconds, Andrew Galata, and then I'm going to let you YouTube it and remember what happened during a fight at that magnitude. That's nowhere near the same as here, nowhere near the same following. Believe it or not, I believe that Andrew Galata now, guys, the former heavyweight champion of the world, is a truck driver somewhere in the southwestern part of the United States. It's a true story. Google it. Why is this fight third on the fucking card from the top? That's annoying to me.
Anything, guys?
Nope.
I mean, one, you have to give them the respect for the championship. I think second is because they're really trying to make that push for Europe. So you're going to have so many eyes on this. So they're able to, they're highlighting the top three fights. You know, they're the ones that are getting the most publicity. They're the ones that's going to be on all the embedded. Those are the ones that are going to be promoted the most. So you have Joanna Champion against someone that she's fought before, but who is undefeated in the UFC and has an undefeated record. So the winner of this fight, you know, will showcase a big European card. I think that was the reason. Do I think the for me as a fan, are the other ones more entertaining? Yes. Do I want to see the other ones more? Yes. But as a marketing, you know, you have still the women's MMA aspect in there, and then you have a champion, you have a European champion. They want to expose, you know, enter that market. I think that was, you know, going into some of the reasons.
Let's talk about the popularity of Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I mean, whether you want to admit it or not, she's super popular with the fan base, especially the hardcore fan base, even the casual fan base. She's very recognizable now. She has a name that has carved herself in the mainstream. Today on the workouts, you know, they did the workouts for the three championship fights. Joanna Jędrzejczyk got the third biggest pop of the fan base. I mean, you know, first McGregor, of course, then oddly enough, Steven Wonder Boy Thompson got the second best pop, and then Joanna Jędrzejczyk got the third big pop, the biggest cheer. So it's because of her popularity. She's becoming a little star in the making, and they're trying to bank on that.
I guess it answers my question. Listen, plus 300, the dog here on Kolowaka Wigski, Monica Lewinsky's cousin. Guys, I'm just going to, and I don't even have to know who's fighting in this. Any chick fight, 300, 3-1, plus 300, 400 on the money line. You know, we're talking about girls who just sling punches. It only takes one to get lucky in there. We've talked about that earlier on the show with another fight. I think that this is a filler fight. I think if you had Wyman or if you had Cerrone on a card, and then you had these two broads on a card, and they were the main events of each respective card, nobody is buying Anthony Jeselnik's sister over Weidman or Cerrone in a main event. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the dog in this fight plus 300 for no other reason, guys, than I would not put $400 on a chick to win 100. I would put 100 to win 300 on a broad, guys. I've just seen too much hair pulled in my time. And by the way, I've asked this question on other shows and on Junkie and now here, and this might be one for Marco. Give me the time and the date where hair pulling in the UFC went outlawed, because even when they explain the rules at the beginning of the show, it's still not considered against the rules. I want to know where and when that rule became prevalent, because in the early days of the UFC, you could pull hair. Nobody ever said you can. I even asked John McCarthy, and he didn't have an answer for me. I'd love to know that, guys.
Supposedly, when they did the unification rules, the unified rules of mixed martial arts, it was kind of implied that hair pulling was prohibited, you know? The same concept on boxing. It might not be written, but it's implied, because you cannot eye poke, you cannot kick on the groin, and even if it's not written, it's implied, and that's why I think there is no hair pulling. But yeah, you're right. If it's not on the rules, people should either amend that or start pulling hair.
Showtime, we go to the star from Tennessee. Showtime, what you got? JJ versus KK.
I got JJ, but I'm gonna tell you this: the reason why they have this fight so high on the card, these chicks are gonna fight, man, for five rounds. It's not gonna be no getting tired and on each other and, you know, laying down and trying to take a nap on the floor and all. It's not gonna be that. This is gonna be action packed. You got your champion, then you have this other young lady that they trying to promote her kind of as a little sexy sex symbol type fighter. So that's why this fight is high on the card, you know. Plus, they're trying to compete in Europe, so that's why I think it's high. And I think this is going to be one of the best fights on the card, to be honest. If you want action pack,
how you gonna win,
Marco? You're up.
Okay. Before I start, Showtime, what you got your method and round, bro?
Oh yeah. Showtime?
We lost him. Okay, here we go. Joanna Jade and Carolina Kowalkiewicz, man, like Clearwater said, they're the alphabet soup. I got Joanna Jędrzejczyk all day. Joanna Jędrzejczyk has demonstrated a hand speed and technique that for women's MMA is far superior than most, if not all, of the other females in on mixed martial arts. Somebody up there, I think it was on the Common Event podcast or somewhere up there, they were calling her, we should change her nickname to the doctor or the surgeon, because she will give you a new nose job. She will give you stitches.
Ouch.
She will give you a new face job. I was the fighter and the kid. That's what it was. But, yeah, Carolina Kowalki, she's a good Muay Thai fighter, but she had a squeak out, a split decision after a split decision after a split decision on her UFC fights. And, you know, as good as she is, Rosa Mayunas beat her soundly on the first round before, you know, Mayunas got tired, and then Kowalki was able to counterpunch her way to a split decision. Kowalkiewicz, yeah, she lost to John Jacek on her amateur career, and that is going to be burning on her mind. John Jacek is a much more polished product right now in the UFC. She is the champion for a reason. I think Kowalkiewicz is going to be a game for the first round for round and a half, but then John Jacek is going to take over like she does, because this is a five-round fight, and Kowalkiewicz has never been on a five-round affair, unlike the champion. And by the third and fourth round, we're going to see how John Jacek is going to rearrange the chick's face, and it's going to be a stop on the fourth round by a TKO by John Jacek.
Dino, Dean.
Yes. I mean, it was mentioned, you know, she beat her in the amateurs back in 2012. But the significance, like, I agree, Carolina has fought out a bunch of split decisions. Really, she's more of a counter fighter. She does have great stand-up. But Joanna is tenacious. Like, if you look at, like, her record and, like, the amount of difference, like, she is so active. She has 100-plus more strikes than her opponent in championship fights multiple times. You can't stand and try to bang with a person that's throwing, you know, 5-1 or 3-1, and she's connected. She has a very high connectivity rate. Her differential, her activity level is above and beyond, you know, her opponent. So I just think her pressure, she's going to probably hit it, you know, it may go to the decision, but it's going to be it's going to be a dominant performance, unanimous decision, I think, Joanna, all day long.
I know the C to the Triple B picked the underdog, and I think he's doing that for betting purposes. I just don't see how JJ loses. There's no possible way she loses, guys. So I'm taking JJ. Let's call Showtime back, because he's on. Let me fill in the dead space here. Clearwater, are you on?
Yeah, is she the girl that was, she grew up in an orphanage and was abused and tied with a dog collar to a wall and all that kind of shit? Is that the same girl?
I don't think so.
I don't know. She's mean. It may be
a Russian orphanage and all that kind of stuff. The stories are out there. I'm not making that up. Wasn't the champion involved in some sort of a scenario like that?
Was she really?
Yes.
Not that I'm aware of. I know she moved to America top 10, and I just working out there with Mike Brown now, and I think that is an upgrade for her, for sure, you know, trying to get out of the Polish mafia that is trying to store her earnings and stuff.
By the way, I'm texting Proteus right now back and forth. Guys, honestly, any show, and I'm not joking, would die to have this cast. Showtime from Tennessee, Dean from Georgia, Clear to the Triple B, and Marco, are you kidding me? I mean, this is the best of the best. The only one that we're missing is Hal. Otherwise, we're literally, I mean, good Lord, the best of the best. All right, guys, we move up to Showtime. We go. Showtime, to the welterweight we go. The champion, Tyron, the chosen one, Woodley, 34 years old, 16-3, 7-3 in his last 10, two losses in the UFC. He's only lost, guys, to Rory McDonald, Jake Shields, and Nate Marquardt. Of course, a former Bella Force. You like that, Marco? A guy going up against Stephen Wonderboy. There you go. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Stephen, don't call me what's that guy from 50 Shades of Grey? Something great, whatever. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, 33 years old, 13-1. The much taller Thompson's lone loss, guys, was to the immortal Matt Brown. Recently, of course, has beaten McDonald, Hendricks, Ellenberger impressively. We go to the Showtime, the person who literally brings the show in time. Showtime, what you got?
Man, as much as I want to take Wonderboy, I got to go with the champ. He's a dog. And I just think it's his time, man. Woodley has paid his dues. He's very explosive. And if he comes to fight his A game, he can beat anybody. And I think he's going to be on top of his game. I think, you know, knocking out Robbie Lawler, I think that gave him a sense of confidence, because the only thing about him, we never knew which T Wood we would get. You know, if we got the T Wood that came, if we got the T Wood that would, you know, would give us a lackluster performance. But I think he's going to perform, man, and he's going to retain that belt.
C to the triple B.
You know, you got to go with Woodley. He is too explosive. He's hungry. You can see that transformation in an athlete that still wants to ascend. You know, anybody with the name fucking Wonder Boy, you know, it's just hard to put money on somebody named Wonder Boy. I mean, you know, it's just odd. So I got to go with Woodley, guys. And I think Woodley puts him away quick. If Woodley had a personality, he'd be a superstar. There's no doubt about it. The guy's just dry as fucking two-day-old toast. And, you know, so I think he's got the look. He's got the physique. He's got the ability. His fights are exciting. But he's just a fucking drip. He's like a black college wrestler from Oklahoma. This guy's got no personalities.
I got nothing there. All right, Dean, what you got?
I'm gonna go against them. I mean, I saw Tyron. I was in the arena when he fought Lawler, and you know, I was shocked with that because he caught him with a speed. But I think Thompson, if he tried to do that rush and catch it, I think Thompson's such a special martial artist, and he'll counter him. It'll be kind of similar to I picture this fight. I see it like as a Ryan Bader versus Machida. He's going to come in. He's going to get starched. And that's what I just think is. And if he tries to wrestle, you know, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, he lost to, you know, like you said, Matt Brown. Since then, he went and started training with Chris Weidman. And, you know, his wrestling's continued to get better with each and every fight. And when he lost to Matt Brown, you're looking at near 4+ years ago. So he has some solid takedown defense. Will Woodley get him down? Yes, but I think he could. I feel confident that he'll be able to get up. And I just think his striking is so unique that definitely Woodley has to be cautious on when he rushes in and trying to catch someone elite striker such as Thompson. So I think he's going to catch him with maybe like a second round, third round knockout. He's going to catch him with like a nice counter, drop him, and then probably just jump on top of him and, you know, and hammer fist whatever he has to do to win the fight. I believe it'll be a stoppage.
Damn, Marco, look at that kind of analysis. Hang on. Darn, Dino coming through. Son of a gun. Marco, what you got?
Wonder Boy, da, 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 da. Wonder Boy, and I tell you why, man. So Ding was pretty spot on, but I gotta tell you exactly why Wonder Boy is gonna beat Woodley. First of all, it's pretty well known that me and Tyron Woodley got a beef on the Fight Club on Sirius XM. I personally told him that I saw he didn't deserve Robbie Lawler, and Robbie Lawler was gonna beat him. I had to eat crow for that. I had to personally apologize to him on air. So I got some personal, I got a chip on my shoulder on this one. But let's remember what Rory McDonald did to Tyron Woodley. Take him on the outside and beat him and make it look like he didn't belong there. Enter Wonder Boy Thompson. He fought a very similar fighter on Johnny Hendricks, a former champion, a wrestler, boxer. He stuffed Johnny Hendricks' double leg. He stuffed that. Johnny Hendricks, after he couldn't get the double leg, could not close the distance. What happened to Johnny Hendricks? He got knocked the fuck out. Steven Wonderboy Thompson striking is at a next level than what Tyron Woodley is. I will respect the fact that Tyron Woodley is a very athletic star. He packs a lot of power, but he is the same body type and the same kind of fighter that Johnny Hendricks is. And I seen on my book, Johnny Hendricks is the better fighter than Tyron Woodley. Or it was. Well, that is debatable. Now, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson is going to use the same blueprint that Rory McDonald did. He's going to keep Tyron on the outside. He's not going to allow him to close the gap or close the distance to try to wrestle fuck him. And when he tries to, he's going to get his underhook, rotate around, and circle around back into the center of the cage, and use his speed works and his angles to outpoint, outclass, and at the end, TKO Tyron Woodley on the fourth round.
Darn. You know what, guys? Oh, man. Thank God I'm never on the fence, C to the triple B. But I got to go with Showtime and C to the triple B on this one, guys. Everything mentally or everything smart-wise or whatever you want to call it has me leaning to the Wonder Boy, but I just don't see Tyron giving up that belt. I just think he's hungrier. I think he's I think he's beastly. So I'm gonna take the chosen one, man. I think he wants to keep this belt, and I think he wants I think there's a chip on his shoulder. So I'm choosing the chosen one, guys. We move up to the I should call it the Conor McGregor show, guys. The notorious one, the notorious Conor McGregor, 28 years old, 20-3. He's only lost once in 6 years, and to me, actually twice, to Nate Diaz. He's now going up in weight to get his second title in the UFC. I guess I already showed my cards the other day, guys. He's going up against the champion, Eddie, the Silent Assassin Alvarez, 32 years old, 28-4. Allegedly, he's 5'9". I don't think so. Only one loss in the UFC recently, guys, to Donald Cerrone. He also lost to Michael Chandler. And to me, he's very similar in style. Well, at least McGregor to me is very similar with, well, I'll get into that later, guys. But let's go up to Marco. What you got of Alvarez versus McGregor?
Yeah, first of all, you don't get to get a pick because you gave yours away last week. But
true.
Dude, this fight, I really, really like this fight. I got so much mad respect for Eddie Alvarez, his career, the fact that he finally is going to get that big payday. But I got this strange feeling that that McGregor is going to do the same to him that Donald Cerrone did to Eddie back in his first UFC fight. McGregor, oddly enough, is the bigger fighter. He's the lankier, taller fighter. He's going to get the reach advantage. And he's very good at the space. A little worry about, you know, if Eddie is going to try to wrestle him and push him against the fence, use the same tactics that he used against Anthony Pettis, then that's a completely different discussion. But I said McGregor, his timing, I think his punching power, that's translated at 155. Eddie Alvarez got he get touched a lot. He get you can actually catch his chin. You know, we saw it on the Chandler fight. We saw it against the Cerrone fight. We see it in Chyna Aoki caught Eddie Alvarez. I mean, Chyna Aoki is not an outstanding striker. He's not even known for throwing hands. Chyna Aoki is a grappling ace. I'm taking McGregor here, and I think he got the superior camp, man. I mean, the guy got the money to bring the bodies, so he's not gonna be surprised by anything that Eddie's gonna try to do. He's gonna probably outpace Eddie in the first and second round, and if his predictions are correct, he's gonna get that TKO late in the first or on the middle of the second round, and we're gonna have a new 2-belt division champion. Historical, he's gonna get all the money, he's gonna get all the millions, he's gonna get the Mac life, he's gonna go away for a year, and everybody's gonna be crying because he's grabbing 2 belts, and I love every second of it.
Darn it, Showtime, what you got,
man? I got Alvarez, man. I like Conor, but he's gonna get his ass starched in this fight. these styles just don't styles make fights, and this style just not gonna work, man. I mean, I don't care who Conor been wrestling around with. He couldn't keep a smaller Chad Mendes from putting him on his back and fucking body slamming him, coming in from deer hunting or whatever the hell he was doing in the woods hunting and came and just looking back. This is a whole nother animal. And I'm gonna tell you this. Eddie is hungry. Eddie hadn't made any money, man. All Conor do is talk about his money. But he gonna lose this belt. And then I wonder if he's going to go back into seeing that 145 belt, or if he's going to, you know, continue to say he cleaned out the division, which he hasn't.
Well, $40 million later, the guy can talk all he wants, man.
Got the money. You know what? He got the money, Marco. But he gonna get that ass on Saturday, though.
Oh,
yeah.
Hold on.
You got knocked the fuck out, man.
I'm being Texas.
Wow, son of a gun! Wow, round. Showtime.
I think it'll be Alvarez probably a stopping maybe in the fourth round or something because Conor will wear down and he'll knock his ass out.
All right.
He may lay down and quit. You know, like he did against. He may quit.
Darn. All right. Well, let's go to the analyst himself, Dean from Georgia.
You know, I almost had to like take back everything bad I've ever said about Mako, but Darth Vader, forget it. I'm not doing it. Mako, I am your, not your father. So no. So, I liked some of the points that both of them put, but I like Eddie. I think Conor. Wow. So Eddie, who think about like who they fought, and Showtime made a very valid point. Styles makes fight. Who has Eddie fought that very similar styles into Conor? Anthony Pettis, a very elusive striker, distant, decent on the back. With a little bit of building their ground game, but very elusive and great striker. Opposite way, Conor fought what kind of wrestler? He fought Chad Mendes. Chad Mendes has gone down multiple times. Now you're looking at a small featherweight. Eddie Alvarez, true lightweight, could kind of potentially go down to featherweight. But and the only reason, you know, and Marco says that he has been tagged. That's because Eddie Alvarez has so much confidence in his boxing. Like, he's willing to take a shot or two because he's going to deliver them. And when he builds to the body, and then he's going to just take them down. And I think I don't want to go with the same round, so I'm going to go with the third round. I'm going to go late in the third round. I think he could potentially, like, knock him down, go to the body, knock him down. Conor's going to wear out. He's going to choke him out. I wanted to say fourth round, but I didn't want to jump on Showtime's train because Showtime did have a very good analysis. I think Conor maybe wins round one. I think that's because Eddie's going to probably pace himself a little bit, try to see what he's trying to do, see how he can, because he is fighting a bigger fighter, and he's going to see how he can get in there. But then after that, he's just going to, once he gets punched a couple of times, he's going to say, fuck this. His silly side is going to come out, and he's going to beat his ass. I hope he does so bad. So, yes. So Darth Vader could, you know, rebuttal if he wants to, but I think I'm on side with Showtime, my man.
Join the dark side.
Oh, man. All right. Gosh, Showtime and Dean. Choosing Alvarez, C to the triple B. This is a closer in odds than we thought, guys. Yeah. Conor McGregor, a minus 160 on average. Alvarez, a plus 140. C to the triple B. What you got?
Guys, let me start off this part of the program by telling you right now on ESPN2, there is a very special college football game on. If you're a college football fan, and it's very interesting, and let me tell you why Toledo in Northern Illinois is interesting, besides the fact that the Clearwater Beach bad boy has more money on this than most people make in a month. And that is because they are playing it in the outfield of the Chicago White Sox Stadium. They're actually playing a college football game in White Sox Stadium. So if you get a chance just to see the aesthetics of this thing, it is really, really neat. It looks like something out of the 50s. But let's move on to this, guys. Let me tell you why I like and why I do not like Eddie Alvarez. Because this is a fucking coin flip. It really is. I mean, you could throw everything out the window, wrestling, grappling, fighting, personality, money. It's a fucking coin toss. And if it wasn't for Conor McGregor's extreme popularity, the line might even be a little bit closer. But I remember late at night, way back before most of these assholes that listened to these programs knew what mixed martial arts were. They knew Shamrock, they knew Gracie, and, you know, they might have knew one or two other guys, Joe Son or somebody, which, by the way, is one of my all-time UFC favorites. But I can tell you this. Eddie Alvarez I used to see him fight. The first time I ever saw Eddie Alvarez fight was on a show that if you had a network on a digital cable provider, the internet, if you were a guy that collected DVDs of fights back then, was on something called Bodog Fights. Now, Bodog was an online betting casino in Central America. It was a online betting thing where you send in money and you could bet online, an online gaming casino that the president and owner of ended up forming his own mixed martial arts thing. If you ever get a chance to watch Eddie Alvarez fight, these fights weren't in giant stadiums. They were in a ring with a canopy over it on the beach. I swear to God, I can't make this up. And it was called Bodog Fights. There would be about 150 to 200 assholes in the crowd, most of which had surfboards and were kicking hacky sacks. It wasn't even a real crowd. But the broads that were on the show, the ring card girls, were enough to get people to watch this. So you had about 12 ring card girls, which were the best I've ever seen. You had some of the most eclectic, interesting fighters in the world fighting on a beach, and it looked like a Van Damme movie called The Quest. And I first saw Eddie Alvarez fight in that. If you've never seen Bodog, now that Eddie Alvarez is a main eventer, go ahead and check and see where this guy has come from with coconuts in the background and all that kind of shit. Now, the other reason I don't like Eddie Alvarez. Now, that's a true story. You could Google this shit. And Marco, am I lying about Bodog Fights? Do you remember when we used to watch this like at 3 a.m.?
Yes, dude. I love Bodog. And, oddly enough, the owner, you know, he went bankrupt after a while. I mean, the guy made millions. And then something happened with some investigations on his money and stuff because of tax evasion. And he disappeared. I don't know if he's dead or in jail. Or whatever, but yeah, I remember Bodog really well, man.
And so Eddie Alvarez has been around a long, 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 long time. He was also on a couple episodes of Bully Beatdown. So the guy's an all-around personality, but there's two things about him that I just can't get over. Number one, you know, the Clearwater Beach bad boy looks at Eddie Alvarez and he says he's where Joe Rogan is 7 years ago. Shave the fucking head. That is the worst hairline in mixed martial arts. It looks like somebody put a starfish on his head. I don't know what he's trying to convince himself of. And then he wears all the little, like, you know, he wears all the Jersey Shore hats and stuff like that. It bothers me. And by the way, you know, he's not Italian out there. For all you people that are telling me he's a Guido and hitting me on the Twitter and the Facebook right now that he's a Jersey Shore guy, he's Irish and Latin. He's not even Italian. Two,
Puerto Rican.
And this is the second. Yeah, he's Puerto Rican. Same goddamn thing. So he's not Italian. So let me put it to you this way. The other thing that bothers me is I have a real problem with putting money on athletes or fighters who's and I had the same thing. Well, who's the guy that left the UFC for Bellator? He's got the long wavy hair. He looks like Palomalo. Who am I thinking of?
Ben Henderson.
Yeah, not Dan Henderson. Who? Ben Henderson. Yeah, Ben Henderson. There you go. Yeah, him and Alvarez share one thing in common, guys, and it's going to get me some heat on this program, but it's you know, internet radio. It's that these guys don't necessarily have great-looking women. And when you're a big-time celebrity and you're dating a 5 or a 6, it tells me you don't have a lot of confidence. Conor McGregor dusts this fucker in about the first 90 seconds, and I put my money on it. He's going to blast him, and if he doesn't do it in 90 seconds, he's going to have problems.
Next week, they're going to have another thing in common. They're going to fight Michael Chandler.
That's true. He's fighting Michael Chandler next week. You're right.
It's ahead of fights Michael Chandler next week. Hey, see the Triple B. I got this Toledo, North Illinois game. This is pretty crazy being in the outfield of a baseball field.
Yeah, and there's probably more people listening to this show right now than there is watching.
They're in the audience. I was going to say that. This like one person in row three.
Championship.
Oh,
there's more
man.
People on the field than there's in the stands.
Uh-oh. Yeah, in fact, if you're looking at it right now, Eddie Alvarez's wife is on the sidelines. But guys, listen, the Clearwater Beach Bad Boy has a lot of entertainment commitments. This was a lot of fun. This is definitely a Hall of Fame special. So Zinjanthropus here on the program, guys, is got to go. I just got a for my birthday. The Clearwater Beach Bad Boy just turned 40. I got a subscription to Brazzers, guys, so I'm going to have to call you later. God bless.
See you later. Oh, man. All right, guys. Let's go Showtime. Your spotlight fight of the night. So this is the best card I've ever seen on paper, guys, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. This is the best card I've ever seen on paper. To you, Showtime, what's your spotlight fight of the night?
To be honest, guys, my spotlight fight of the night is going to be the ladies. I know y'all probably going to, you know.
Not me. I love the ladies.
I want to see those ladies fight, man. You know what? I know I'm going to get my money's worth, and it's going to be 5 rounds of crew fighting. And I'm going to go with that ladies fight. Well, you know what? Both ladies fight.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Wait, you get looking.
All right. Dean, what is your spotlight fight of the night?
My second favorite fight is Frankie Edgar. I was going to go with that one. That's pretty obvious. I love that fight, him against Stevens. Be able to rebound. But another fight also I'm pretty excited about is I want to see Thiago Alves' lightweight debut.
Ooh, I mean, versus Jim Miller.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. I think Alves will be a beast at lightweight. I mean, although he's going from a very stacked division, going to another stacked division. So that is another, definitely a prelim, lower card fight that I'm very excited about. And then, you know, I'm always excited to see Frankie Edgar fight. Frankie Edgar and Carlos Condon, can't go wrong. My two favorite fighters. They bring it all the time. And Jeremy Stevens can bring it too. So that's a very scary fight coming off a loss with Aldo, but I think he will outsmart, outpoint Jeremy Stevens. But Jeremy Stevens is dangerous, you know. He lands a couple of combinations, and like he tried to tell Conor McGregor, when he knocks people out, he knocks them the fuck out, you know. So they go look at the stars. So, but I don't think he could. I think his Frankie Edgar's defense and footwork will be too much for Jeremy Stevens. So that's my fight that I'm looking forward to the most due to him being my like favorite fighter. So
my spotlight fight of the night is no longer around. That's Kennedy versus Evans. Marco, spotlight fight of the night.
Okay, first of all, Mark Romandi from MMA Fighting reported that Kennedy versus Evans is being moved to UFC 206. So take that for what it's worth. They moved the fight to UFC 206. So that Toronto card is getting more interesting right now. So good for them. I'm going to put the spotlight in one of the fights that is being overlooked right now. We haven't talked about it too much, but it got a lot of consequences, especially because of the last weekend's fights with RDA Tony Ferguson. I'm talking about Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Michael Johnson. And Khabib, you know, I keep saying that it's a two-horse race between Tony Ferguson and Khabib to who gets the next title shot. Well, never mind if McGregor or Alvarez wins, you know, who will be the deserving number one contender. I keep saying that Tony Ferguson is, it should be the number one contender right now because it's what have you done for me lately. He's been the more active fighter. He's on a 9-fight winning streak in the USC, mind you, and Khabib, even though he's undefeated and he's 4-0, he's going to be supposedly 5-0 if he wins this fight this weekend. He has been gone for 2 years, man. And this whole game is what have you done for me lately? And yeah, Khabib, as good as you are, you better get an impressive, and I mean a very impressive win this weekend. You need to completely obliterate Michael Johnson, and that is not an easy task because he can knock you out. So that is my spotlight this weekend, the fight to see, because if Khabib can impress, then he regains the lead on that sweepstakes for the championship. Otherwise, it's Tony Ferguson all day.
All right, guys, that's we went long, but this is a star-studded show. I do want to ask you guys this, though. If you guys can join Proteus and I in the aftermath on Sunday show, because I really want to go over your picks, etc. So, to, of course, the Clearwater Beach bad boy who left us, the one and only Showtime from Tennessee. Showtime, what is your what is your Twitter? Did we lose Showtime?
Looks like it.
Oh, man, we lost Showtime. Dean, you're not on Twitter, but do you have a song of the week or a Twitter follow of the week?
Song of the Week, Grand Optimus, City and Color.
Ooh. And no Twitter follow of the week?
I don't follow Twitter.
And you refuse to be on Twitter? The one and only, of course, Dean from Georgia. Man, we miss him. Marco. Follow, of course, Marco at Maldo. Marco. And Marco, do you have a song of the week or a Twitter follow of the week?
I got a song of the week is I got the Eye of the Tiger, because it was not only Hillary Clinton's song, but it's also Michelle's walkout song, Eye of the Tiger. I am the Eye of the Tiger. Whatever. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow another MMA cast. Follow DJ Tony at
Tony.
I've followed Dean
Follow Darth Vader. May the force be with you.
And with that I'll lead you guys. Catch you guys next time.
Guys, we thank obviously Dean from Georgia, the star himself, the one and only Showtime from Tennessee. And of course, Marco from Waco, C to the triple B. Grotius, we missed you today. We're gone. Follow us, of course, on Sunday. We hope to have everyone back. I like that. Whew. We're gone.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
And like that.